We are a registered charity relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
Featuring the latest songs from artists in Canada and from around the world.
Hosted by DJs from coast to coast to coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily.
Welcome along, I'm Sean Savage. This is the Earshot Daily Electronic Edition. This time around, I'll have music for you from Fred Everything, Strandia, and Jada G. Kicking things off, this is Goldie Gremlins and Chesta with Demon.
This is Canada's Music, Earshot Daily.
Let's play a game.
Music was meant to be. Earshot Daily.
I'm Sean Savage. This is Earshot Daily. Thanks for listening. Follow me on all socials. My handle is The Mix Sessions. Let me know what you think of the show. That was Daniel Dubb and Jonathan Rosa with Lost. Up next, this is Jada G with the Hyla Mix of Renewal.
You're listening to music from Canada's premier indie music source, Earshot's digital distribution system. Canada's music, Earshot Daily.
We'll be right back.
Sean Savage. You're listening to the Earshot Daily. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have for this edition of the show. This is Fred Everything with PSC theme. Until next time.
Listen up, Canada. This is your show on your station, Canada's Earshot Daily. Listening to Earshot Daily. For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca.
CFRC is stoked to partner with KPP Concerts on an awesome summer lineup. On June 27th, be sure to catch Long Range Hustle and Psycho Billy legends Reverend Horton Heat on June 28th. On July 3rd, check out alt country legend Fred Eaglesmith, followed by folk punk legend Billy Bragg on July 5th. Emo is alive and well on July 8th with Arms Length and Mo Kenny come to town on July 9th. Hip-hop pioneer Souls of Mischief are here on July 21st, and we'll get some hardcore action with Spaced on July 23rd. Amen Monica brings Arabic Jazz to Kingston on August 7th, and finally, August 9th, you can see Lucero Ben Nichols. For tickets and full information on these and other awesome shows, visit kppconcerts.com. Hi, I'm Genevieve Hinch, and you are listening to The Kingston Curator. This is the show that keeps you connected with everything happening across Kingston's art, music, culture, and community scene. Whether you're looking for your next concert, wanting to discover local artists, or just trying to stay in the loop with what's going on around the city, this is definitely the place for you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Kingston Curator. Today, joining me is Jordan, the co-producer, project manager, and performer with Speaking Vibrations, a very unique performance coming to this year's Kick and Push Festival in Kingston. So, Jordan, thank you so much for joining me today. It is so great to have you on my show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm stoked to be chatting with you today about our show.
Mm-hmm, me as well. And maybe for listeners who have not heard of Speaking Vibrations before, how would you describe the show to them?
Yeah, so Speaking Vibrations is a unique, immersive, and genre-defying performance in over 10 different genres and languages, including ASL song and poetry, spoken word, song, percussive and contemporary dance. It's all at once dance, music, and theater together. We really don't fit just into one category. And it's also a show where accessibility is our aesthetic. We use interesting and innovative technology, stage, and sound design to create an immersive performance experience that our aim is that as many people as possible can appreciate and enjoy. For example, our show integrates ASL as a performance language. We have creative and dynamic captions that have animations with different fonts and colors and shapes, so our words appear on a screen at the same time that they're signed, spoken, or in song. As well, the thing that we're really most excited about is that we have a limited number of handheld vibratactile devices that allow for select audience members, for example, deaf, hard of hearing, blind or low vision audience members, to experience sound as feeling and vibration live during the show.
Wow. I think this is just so cool to me. And when I think accessible, this is exactly what I'm thinking. This is such, what a unique experience. And I'm curious, you blend, like you mentioned, a lot of dance, music, spoken word, and ASL. So how did the original idea for this production come about? How did one think about this?
Yeah, so actually one of our group members, my co-producer and a close friend, Carmel, she and I are tap dance artists. So we were dancing together on the same tap dance ensemble in Ottawa. And at one point, she and I said to each other, you know, I think we want to start like a new collective and explore, you know, mixing tap dance with ASL or spoken word. And she actually works, Carmel works as an ASL interpreter professionally in her working life and our other work life rather. And so she said, you know, I know someone who's a deaf artist and who's might be interested in joining us. And I had actually just seen an artist perform in Ottawa the week prior to that conversation, a person named King Kimbit, who to me at the time was, and still is, like a big deal in the Ottawa music and hip hop scene. But I had seen this person perform and I was like, okay, why don't I'm just going to message them on Instagram and see if they would want to join us. So Carmel contacted Joanne and I contacted King Kimbit, and then we kind of took off from there. We all didn't know each other. Carmel and Joanne did, but the rest of us didn't individually. And then basically we met up. We started to share our stories and introduce each other to our backgrounds and our interests. And that's kind of how this production was born.
Wow. It really just seemed, yeah, the cards just all fell together and in place perfectly. That's amazing. And a little bit about the story itself. So this show definitely explores kind of identity, belonging, connection. So why were those themes so important for you and your team to explore?
Yeah, so it just felt natural to us, really. Our performers and the creators in the group, as well as the members of our crew, we're all from different communities, different diasporic communities, people from different art scenes. So for example, we have like Vietnamese, Filipina, South African, Hong Kong, Barbadian, Greek as an example of the various communities we're from. So it felt natural to us that when we first met and worked together, that we started to share our stories with each other and talked about our backgrounds, and that's where we started to explore and share some of our similarities and differences. So, you know, some of us are first generation immigrants, some are the children or grandchildren of immigrants, some of us use the same languages, for example, sign language or English. Some of us share identities as Black, from deaf, or theater, music, and dance communities. So we have all these different bonds in the group that tie us together, both in smaller groups and as a whole. And, you know, it's important to us that these themes of identity and belonging and connection are explored and expressed, because it's simply about who we are. So when we're sharing on stage, we're not pretending to be something else. We're acting as ourselves. And we know that people in the audience will find connection to our stories.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Very genuine. And kind of following up on that, looking into the storyline a little bit, the performance weaves together several different experiences. So what made you kind of decide to tell the story in that way?
Yeah, so it was sort of the way, like, it kind of reminds me of the way I write when I'm, you know, I have a grant application due, or if I'm writing a letter to somebody, you know, I might start somewhere that is known, something I think that I want to say, and I get that paragraph down, and then, you know, a day goes by and I come back to it later and I move that paragraph down a bit lower because I think actually its place needs to be moved. So similarly to that, our performance was developed that way and truly weaved together different experiences. So we might have started with, say, Joanne and King, who have created poetry together in the show, and we might have experimented in rehearsal with them creating poetry together and working out a scene, and then we play that out and we go, okay, yeah, that would be good there, but what if Joanne began first on stage and had a story to tell first, and then what happens after that? So it was truly like the way that, because we come from different arts backgrounds, each of us has a different opinion and way of creating. We have storytellers, expert storytellers in the group. We have dance artists in the group. So the way that we write, compose music, and create choreography was just how this performance came together. And it truly was just, it felt like this is the way we have to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love kind of how your real world experiences kind of follow you on the stage. That's great. And going through, the early production stages and now seeing your performance come to life and find you on stage, what do you hope audiences kind of take away from these stories and your performance?
Yeah, well, we hope that when someone comes to see the show, we hope that they first feel that they've maybe never experienced something like this before. So we hope that they come away, feeling refreshed and, motivated and interested by what they experienced. Even if that feeling is, curiosity or feeling even challenged or confused by something. We have, different languages in the show. So say if you come to the show and you're watching a scene in ASL, there might be captions in the background to help you if you're not a signer, but you might watch that show, that scene and wonder, I'm not sure if I understood all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, that's actually part of the design to have the audience member experience a moment, a fraction of what, say, a deaf person experiences every day, living in a hearing-centered and centric world, for example. But lastly, what we hope audiences take away and experience is that they find something of themselves in the performance that they could recognize, I really connect to that person, or this person's story is, reminds me of my own, or I hope that one day I might be able to come on stage and tell my story.
Mm-hmm. And something that obviously is very standing out about this performance is the accessibility just weaving all throughout it. So why was that such an important priority from the beginning?
Yeah, well, I think that, we're a group of deaf and hearing artists. So kind of inherently coming together to work together, we work with interpreters, ASL and deaf mm-hmm. interpreters. So that's how we need to do our work. And mm-hmm. so naturally, accessibility, access to language, and equity in the creative process is just a part of how we needed to work together. Mm-hmm. So I want, in one sense, it's a functional thing. How do I understand someone that doesn't use the same language as I do? We need tools. Yeah. And on the other hand, we see accessibility not as an afterthought or, simply an offering that we have for our audiences. It is, we do see it that way. It's something that we want to provide in order to invite as many people as possible to enjoy the show. But we see it as something that enhances what we do. So when we use creative captions in our show, or we use vibrotactile technology, or we explore how sign language might be understood or felt by someone who, say, is blind or low vision, all of these elements inspire us to create an experience that to us is artistically interesting as much as it is an accessibility offering.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And you mentioned, I know earlier, and actually just briefly right there, so the show incorporates ASL, kind of spoken English, creative captionings, and the vibrotactile technology. Did I pronounce that right?
That's right.
Okay, great. And so, yeah, how do all those elements kind of come together to create this shared experience for audiences?
Yeah, well, I think it's the same way as we talked about earlier in terms of how all of these genres and stories are weaved together like a tapestry or like a quilt to come together for this performance. So, you know, if there's one scene, for example, in the show where we have a performer on stage and the captions of her poetry are coming down vertically on a screen from behind her in the shape of roots from a tree. We have the vibratactile technology, these devices that vibrate when our performers are singing live or doing percussive dance, tap dance, or body percussion. So, you know, you might be watching a scene and then your body all of a sudden lights up with this feeling that, you know, you're seeing somebody move or somebody sing and you feel it in your body. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really wanted to explore both the visual, oral, and tactile sense of experiencing a show, because we know that we all of us as humans and artists and performers have such different ways of understanding and perceiving language and performance art. And so all of these elements, ASL, spoken English, captions, our technology, these are all weaved together to share this, to create this at once a shared experience that all of the audience members have at the same time. And, you know, each person might leave the show having experienced it in a slightly different way.
That is so cool. Yeah, just hearing all those elements that you use in the performance, it is truly just what a cool experience. And I'm sure many people having watched this have definitely felt the impact of this performance. So I'm curious to hear, have you had any audience reactions or stories that have really stuck with you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. One particularly that comes to mind, in 2024, we performed in Edmonton at the Skirts of Fire and Sound Off Deaf Theater Festival. And after one of our performances, we had a group of students and youth from a deaf school come to see our show. And they were a part of watching the show and doing a Q&A afterwards. And there was this moment after the Q&A was done where a few of the youth who were deaf but also Filipino, a couple of them, came up to ask Carmel if they could take their picture with her. And they were so excited about seeing a fellow, you know, Filipino artist. And, you know, it was clear that they were like, oh my gosh, like, you're so cool. And wow, maybe we could do something like that. So, yeah, having youth come to our show and experience it is definitely a story and experience that has moved all of us and is something we want to continue to happen.
Yeah. Oh, and what an amazing feeling that must be to kind of see all your hard work and effort and then kind of see the audience reaction to that and just the impact you're making with that performance. Truly, I can just imagine how great of a feeling that is.
Yeah, it's really the best. Yeah. So moving.
And kind of let's talk about a little bit about you for a second, Jordan. So you wear several hats as both a performer and co-producer. What's that experience been like?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. So I would say it's tricky to wear many hats, but I feel it's a universal experience, right, among artists and arts workers and people in the community. So it's definitely a challenge, but it's also, I find it creatively interesting. So, and not only am I finding ways to make time for those roles, but especially now that I've become a mother in the last year and I've joined a few members of our team who are also parents, it's another challenge to add that to the mix, but it's one where I feel inspired by the people around me. You know, it's a if she can do it, I can do it kind of way.
Yeah.
Of thinking, and where you see people who are parents and who are artists, and you go, yeah, wow, like that's so beautiful to see someone work that out. And I'd say it's also a case where, you know, all of us in the group are wearing multiple hats. So we have Carmel also is a co-producer, performer. She organizes our interpreters and their scheduling. One of our directors, Jackie, on this show, she's our director, but she also has worked as co-director with Pamela Witcher. She has worked as an audio describer on our show. So, it's part of the job, and I think is one that we all of us share on the team. And in fact, for this version of the show, although for the past few years of this show that has existed since 2019, for this performance in Kingston, we actually have someone stepping in my role as performer so that I can focus on being co-producer and wow. mother. And actually just heard my daughter just have a yell in the other room. So there we are. We wear several hats.
A little bit of everything. Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Talking a little bit now about the touring aspects of this performance and now Speaking Vibrations coming to Kingston. So yeah, this has been performed in many different communities. So does each audience bring something different to the experience, do you find?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think it does. Yeah, it depends on the theater and the festival, right? So we got one of our first performance starts here in Ottawa at an independent multidisciplinary festival, and as well as Ottawa Fringe Fest. So we think of a Fringe Festival, as we know, like here for Kingston, the TK Fringe, it's a festival for the people. It's unjuried, it's a mix of so many different types of creators and genres. So being a part of a Fringe means you're joining this kind of particular inclusive and vibrant community of creators. So that's something we definitely wanted to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we've also performed here in Ottawa at the Ottawa Dance Directive, where we're attracting and working with audiences who are more a part of the contemporary dance scene. We've worked with the Great Canadian Theatre Company in Ottawa, and they have a particular audience, and they create work that attracts a different kind of audience as well. So, you know, it depends on the venue, depends on the festival, but yeah, on our tour, we, you know, basically one of our goals as Speaking Vibrations is to take our show to as many cities in Canada as possible and to try to connect with as many audiences mm-hmm. as possible. And Kingston has been on our radar for a number of years. So we're excited to finally come this weekend and share our work with the TK Fringe audience and the Kick and Push Festival audience.
Yeah, for sure. And we are excited to have you guys. Yeah, truly, I think this is a great performance for the Kingston scene. And I'm happy to get see you guys kind of connect to some more audiences as well. So I think it is going to be a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about it too, and excited to hopefully check out a couple other shows while we're visiting.
Yeah, for sure. Now, on a more personal note, working on a show kind of centered around identity, has that experience changed your own perspectives in any way?
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. Just because of the nature of what we explore in rehearsal around, you know, identity and belonging, and what we're presenting on stage, and what, for example, our director for this show, Jackie, encourages kind of the honing in of and the clarity of our stories. Yeah, working on this show has definitely caused me to think and reflect in an ongoing way about my own, you know, my own identity, my relationships. For example, like I'm half Greek. My grandparents immigrated here in the 60s. It's something that is an identity that I have, but I feel like a lack of connection to of my language, Greek language. It's something I long to have more of a connection of when I look at, you know, some of my aunts and uncles and cousins. I look at my grandparents who are, you know, one of them's not here anymore, one of them's aging. So working on this show and thinking about like who you are, where you come from, and where you belong, it's like these are our stories, and this is like the ongoing work we have in our group. And, you know, not only for myself, my own perspective on my own life and my identity, every time I watch the show or experience it from backstage or in rehearsal, I'm reminded of again and moved again by the stories of my peers. For example, of Joanne in the show, her stories of belonging, acceptance, and validation of her identity as a Black and Deaf artist. Those are some of the stories that, you know, inspire me, impact my perspective on being a human being and being an artist.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Wow. And wrapping things up a little bit, for anyone who's still deciding whether to come and watch Speaking Vibrations, what do you think this, or why do you think this performance is something that people should not miss?
Oh my gosh. I think that it's truly something, it's hard to not be biased, right? But I think that it's something that is truly unique and truly refreshing, something that people really haven't seen before. The way that we blend different genres together, for example, you know, the way that a hand shape or gesture in ASL could morph into a contemporary dance movement, or the way that if I'm a hearing person and I'm watching an ASL scene of the show, the way that I can work to try to understand a language that's not my own and find something curious, interesting, and beautiful about it. So the way that we weave together all of these different genres, and there's so many of them, you know, we have rap, we have song, we have three different kinds of dance. We have traditional Filipina dance, we have percussive and contemporary dance. So you go to this show not knowing what to expect, but you're going to come away with having experienced so much. So that's what we want to leave people with, And that's what we want to share about what to expect. Expect the unexpected.
Wow. Well, that's some pretty good incentive, might I add. But, yeah. Thank you again so much for your time, Jordan. I really appreciate it. And bringing this truly unique performance to life and letting all of us here in Kingston get to experience it as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time and for chatting with me today.
Again, that was Jordan, the co-producer, performer, and project manager of Speaking Vibrations. Again, check out this wonderful performance happening this weekend in Kingston. For more information about the performance, and if you're interested in getting tickets, you can visit the kickandpush.com/speakingvibrations website, and you will get all the information you need right there. But that is the end of our episode for today, and I will see you next week.
Every day, you hear something new on CFRC. Can you keep up? You need a weekly recap. Catch up with What's Climbing Friday morning.